Good morning, everyone. So what do you think? Humble pie on the floor of the House of Representatives for Charlie Rangel yesterday?
No, it was like a soap opera. It was a daytime drama.
It was more like censure schmensure. This is Charlie Rangel speaking after the House voted to censure him yesterday.
I understand that this is a new criteria and a breakthrough in order to teach somebody a higher lesson than those that in the past have done far more harm to the reputation of this body than I.
Congressman Rangel, please sit down. But no, he had an apology.
I just apologize for the awkward position that some of you that are in. But at the end of the day, as I started off saying, compared to where I've been, I haven't had a bad day since. Thank you.
And he finally sat down, Charles Rangel, after being censured. Censure is a rare move in the House of Representatives. Todd Zwillick joins us, Takeaway Washington correspondent. I don't get the sense that Charles Rangel has a lot of credibility on the House floor this morning, but you were there. You looked into his eyes, Todd. What was it like?
Well, Charles Rangel stood in front of Nancy Pelosi in the well of the House, John, with his hands folded in front of his belt buckle, his shoulders a little bit forward. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, seemed a lot more upset about the situation than Charles Rangel did. Her voice quavered. Her eyes were downcast when she banged the gavel after reading the censure resolution into Charlie Rangel's face in front of the whole country. She didn't bang it. She just tapped it really as lightly as she could. It seemed like it was an extremely painful experience for her. Then Charlie Rangel turned around and went to address the House. And when he was done, his allies came and hugged him and patted him on the back and walked him up the aisle, a defiant walk out of the chamber.
So it was certainly an emotional moment there in the House of Representatives. Joining us now is Stephen Smith, professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis. Professor, good morning to you, first of all.
Thanks.
And what is this ritual of censure? It's not criminal, but it certainly these votes and this emotion really evokes something from the 1700s.
Well, yeah, it does. You know, in the 1960s, the House finally created its kind of modern Committee on Standards of Official Conduct, or the Ethics Committee, as it's called informally. And since that time, they've developed a more official, now quite lengthy, rule book, basically, that legislators are expected to adhere to in the conduct of their official business. So, and then over the years, they've managed to elaborate a set of punishments. They can reprimand a representative, which is considered to be a lesser punishment. They can go to censure, as they did with Congressman Rangel yesterday, or they can expel someone. The censure of Rangel fits in that middle category.
Indeed. Steve Smith is professor of political science at Washington University. He joins us from the Twin Cities this morning. Todd Zwillick, so, even though the actual punishments for censure and these kinds of ethics violations come from the modern era, the House very much takes care of its own. And that really goes back to the framers' idea that this body will take care of its own problems. First of all, politically, how does Rangel sit this morning? You say his allies came and hugged him. Did the Congressional Black Caucus stand with him on the censure vote yesterday?
Well, the Congressional Black Caucus did more than that. The Congressional Black Caucus mounted an effort to get that censure downgraded to reprimand. And if you were watching the proceedings, I know I was, there was a vote to strip the censure out and have a reprimand instead. That whole effort was mounted by members of the Congressional Black Caucus. It lost, but it got far more votes than anybody thought it would when they started the effort. And then once the censure vote came, many members of the CBC did stand by Charlie Rangel. Very fewer Democrats did, only 75. 72 Democrats voted with him. He got a couple of Republican votes from old-timers and friends like Don Young from Alaska, who's been around about as long as Charlie Rangel has.
The CBC was with him. And the longtime Congress people were the ones that were more likely to stand with Rangel at the end. Steve Smith, I'm wondering if this is about not so much Charlie Rangel, but about incumbency. When you're from a really safe seat, and he's a 21-term congressman, Todd? 21-termer,
yeah.
Just won a new term. Steve Smith, when you're from a really safe seat, you feel like you're untouchable, and it encourages you maybe to lapse into a gray area ethically, and that's what happened with Charlie Rangel, but he's certainly not the first.
Well, I think some of his colleagues were unhappy with the behavior that was disclosed. And, you know, the fact that he was such a senior member and chairman of the Ways and Means Committee made them all the more sensitive to it. You know, the Republicans were criticized for ethical lapses earlier in this decade. And when the Democrats regained their majority, they promised to operate in a different way, and I think Charlie Rangel is in part a victim of the commitment of the Democrats over the last 4 years to the application of a higher standard of ethical conduct.
And indeed, that was some of the import of Charlie Rangel's defiant sounding language on the floor yesterday.
Right.
Todd Zwillick, would you say though that if you're in a safe seat, and I think you know some of the Republicans who had problems ethically. You know, it was a feeling of being untouchable that encouraged them to maybe remain defiant long after was rational in some sense. The defense procurement problems of congressmen, Republican incumbents out on the West Coast, for instance.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the fact that Charlie Rangel just got reelected in Harlem with 70% plus of the vote tells you that his, I think you're right, John, his defiance probably comes from that. He's
right.
Not leaving the House. At
exactly.
least he said on the floor that he's going to continue to serve. And he's probably seen a lot of these things come and go, and maybe he thought that defiance, you know, repeating the fact that there was no corruption or self-dealing behavior was the best way to go here. But, you know, I spoke to one of his colleagues, Gerald Nadler, from the West Side of New York long time.
Yep.
He's known Charlie Rangel since 1970. He said there's no such thing as a slap on the wrist when you've been here 40 years. When you're an institutionalist and the institution punishes you, there's no such thing as a slap on the wrist. This is a punch.
On the way out, Todd, remind us of the allegations. It's diverting money for foundations and job giving and real estate deals, that sort of thing?
No, nothing like that. Failure to pay taxes
right.
on a villa in the Dominican Republic, using House resources like letterhead to solicit donations
for his foundation,
the Charles Rangel Center at City
right.
College in New York,
right.
things like that.
All right, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, and Steve Smith, professor of political science at Washington University, on the rare censure yesterday on the House of Representatives, the 23rd congressman in the history of House to be voted for censure, Charles Rangel, a 21-term congressman from New York.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.